BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. You give us a 30-second take, dazzle us, and you need to get in early today. We're very busy. You'll get a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Rodney is off. Kelvin Washington is back. Welcome, Kelvin.
Mike on. What's up, Fred?
It's all good. And what a treat today. We're getting big-timed.
We are.
Big-time. Doug Gottlieb's going to hang for a while. This is very nice of you to take a couple of minutes.
Dude, this is awesome for me. I grew up Fritz and Fred. Come on, Fritz and Fred fighting over airtime on NBC. This is awesome. Like one of my idols growing up. Are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
See, and I told you that. I told you that Wednesday, too.
So both of you are indicated
an LA
again.
Legend.
I'm old.
You are old.
That was unnecessary.
I said wise.
But listen, you like wise. But you have all your hair.
Yes,
and that
I do.
Appears to be real hair. Like, you didn't get any of the transplant stuff some of these dudes get.
No.
Like, that is real hair.
No, that's my hair.
And if you got a facelift, it's not a good one because your face has, you know, it looks natural. But you look, for somebody your age, as old as you are, it's really amazing you were able to drive by yourself. Right? You found your way to the studio.
What are you saying? It's discounts at Denny's? Like, what are you saying here?
I'm kidding.
Why are you here now?
The problem is, you started in this business when you're like 20 years old.
23.
Yeah. So, you're not actually old. You've just been doing it a long time because you started at a young age.
Seasoned.
You're just like LeBron.
Yeah, well,
like we look at LeBron.
He jumped off early.
And he was like, oh, well, he's done it for 15 years. Like, yeah, dude, he didn't have to go to college. He started doing this right away.
Well, that's an accurate statement. Just a lot of miles on LeBron over the years.
A lot of miles on you.
A lot of miles on that throat. Yes. A lot of miles on voice. You look good, though. You and, again, the sexy specs. You're good, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I got you.
Let's get to it. I was not surprised at all. I don't think, Doug, I know you weren't, and Kelvin, I'm sure you weren't. When LeBron decides to opt out, what was his other option? Of course he was opting out. Do you think the people in Cleveland were caught off guard by that?
No. No. One of the things that I think I found, and I've been doing this now for 15 years, I do think that for the most part, sports fans, not mainstream fans, not as much, but sports fans are a little bit more educated than we used to be because the information is out there for us. So it's a lot like the Kyrie Irving a week ago or a week and a half ago was asked about, you know, sign an extension. And he kind of, I'm not going to sign an extension. And sports fans didn't freak out because you realize the dollars that are at stake, right? Paul George doesn't, he opts out. Why? Because the dollars at stake. It's the same thing with LeBron James. So was I surprised? No. I don't think any sports fans is surprised. The only people it hurts is probably the Houston Rockets because I didn't think Houston was that legitimate anyway, but it's almost impossible for them to get the money to work. If you sign Chris Paul to a max, you already have James Harden with the max, and then you get LeBron James as a free agent, you're kind of tapped out financially. That's the only team that was really hurt, and I don't think they were surprised, but I think probably disappointed by today.
And you're right about that. I mean, you have to gut your roster, them, the Rockets, or any other team, if they have a chance to get LeBron since he's opted out. And if for him, it doesn't matter. I mean, he's cost him $300,000-$500,000, which is nothing to him. He sneezes out $500,000. So
that's
not a
big
deal.
Lucky.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point, Doug, too, when you talk about the fact that all this information is out there. Think about it. It used to just be you only got it from three streams of information, you know, maybe your local news, a big time national and something else. But now you get it from bloggers. I mean, there's blog information. There's people who are insiders, there's cousins who want to start a blog. I'm LeBron's cousin. I'm going to start my own blog. And they put out information. So it's all out there. And we know more about money. The fans are much more educated about money. So this isn't surprising to anybody.
You know, what's funny is, so Kelvin, we're discussing in between Colin's show, which I guest hosted, and your guest show, we were discussing franchises, right? And about how, wouldn't you say you're done with franchises?
I'm done. I'm franchised out.
You won't go watch any franchise of any, like, the new Rocky or there's a new, not Rocky.
Okay, you got Creed has me. Creed has me.
Okay, so you're not franchised out. You're franchised out of the franchise you don't want to watch. Which is it? You franchised in or franchised out?
Creed is different.
Why is it
different? Because Creed is new. Let me rephrase.
That's a franchise.
Franchises that are old that have been around for years, this is new. This is new.
Hold on.
I know Sylvester Stallone is in it, but this is new.
Fred Rogen.
Well, Creed
Rocky,
is...
Hold on. Rocky started when... Rocky, the original Rocky was 78?
Yeah.
Okay?
78-ish? Sure.
Right? That's... The Creed is part of the Rocky franchise.
This is Creed.
No, you're not.
Okay, this is new. This is about his daddy, Creed. Apollo Creed.
You're doing the thing.
I am doing it. And let me have my moment, Doug, but what is your point?
My point is... What's amazing about this is LeBron James free agency 3. This is LeBron James has franchised the free agency for NBA superstars. And yet I got 5 texts from friends. We're like, "Oh, you're doing Colin's show. Where's LeBron going?" Everywhere you go in LA, and I was in Boston last week, and people are asking, where's LeBron going? Well, it's amazing that, like, look, Hollywood figured this out way before LeBron figured it out. People can't get enough.
Yeah, but they can't get enough because he is truly the best guy in the game. He is the only true difference maker. He's the only guy that can go anywhere and make them an immediate contender. That's why people can't get enough.
But they also can't get enough, Fred, because of now the team that is in it. See, last time when he left, everybody's like, oh, wait, he's going back to Cleveland. I remember the last one not being such a big deal.
It was a big deal
because of LeBron,
yes.
But it was more of a surprise. Like, oh, wait, he's going back to Cleveland?
Yeah.
This time it's a big deal because it's L.A. and it's the purple and gold, and that's why it's heightened. Because the last time, if the trajectory was going down, meaning if the Lakers were out of this year, we would be, oh, here's LeBron again. It wouldn't be that big of a discussion. But now because the Lakers are a real viable threat to get LeBron, now we're heightened. The intensity is heightened again.
Can I go side note?
Yeah, please.
I still go Laker blue and gold.
Yeah?
I do. I still do the Jack Kent cut Laker blue and gold. And I get shouted down by Laker fans like, no, it's purple and gold. Like, no, I used to remember Chick Hearn would do Laker blue and gold.
Right, that was Jack Kent
Cook. Jack Kent Cook and the Lakers
broadcast
network.
You've been living in the past a lot. You bring it up 1978.
I do live in the past.
What's going on, man?
Look, the booty tight shorts are coming back.
Guys are rolling up the shorts now,
which we fought for years to get shorts lengthened, and only the Fab Five, Michael Jordan and the Fab Five made it acceptable to get your shorts long, and then like Arkansas, they went ridiculous. They were basically wearing skirts, and now these kids are rolling. You've been to AAU events?
Oh, yeah.
They roll up their shorts. It's like, nope, those aren't long.
You know why, though? Because like my mama always told me, everything is cyclical. Hold on to your bell-bottoms. They'll come back.
Oh, yeah.
Bell-bottoms did not come back.
They did.
My dad had that theory.
The mid-90s, they did.
Sands belt pants are not coming back.
There's somebody in this town that's had suits since 1980, held onto them, still wears them, and now they're back in style.
Look at all the haircuts, all the high-top fades that these guys have in the NBA.
Is a Jerry Curl coming back?
Well, there is a rapper, G. Perico. Shout out to him. He has a Jerry Curl. It's dripping, too.
But is a Jerry Curl coming back?
He's going to be the first to bring it back.
Man.
Keeping
that would
the
be the
activator
guy.
Handy.
Got the activator.
All right, so LeBron makes the decision. He opts out. Now, of course, Doug, as you point out, everybody wants to know, where is he going to go? I still maintain this. He can't come here unless he has guaranteed help. He's not going to come here, in my estimation, unless he has somebody to play with. Because, and you're more than welcome to disagree, if he comes here and doesn't win, if he doesn't win a title, it's an epic fail. When you come here as a free agent, when you come here and play on the big stage under the bright lights, fans expect you to win in Los Angeles. Showing up will not be enough for him. And that being said, if he doesn't have help coming, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, probably two bits of help, I'm not so sure he does it. I don't think he comes here to lose.
I don't agree.
Go ahead.
I don't agree. Because I think LeBron at this point in his career is a made man. So therefore, he can only help his legacy. So if he were to come here and lose, or maybe make the finals and lose, or does, you know, makes playoffs but doesn't make the finals, at this point, he's already a made man. He's playing with house money. So to me, he can only help his career by coming here. He doesn't have to win. Sure, we want him to, because the only person we're comparing him to at this point, really, is Jordan. And the people who will say he's not better than Jordan, or never will be, they're never going to let him be Jordan, because
Correct.
Jordan already 6-0 in the finals.
I'm not comparing him to anybody. I don't even think that's the issue right now. I think the issue is this. There's a level of expectation that Laker fans have in this market. Doug, you grew up here.
Yeah.
They expect winning, and they expect big stars to win. His legacy means nothing to me. What does mean something to me is if he puts on a Laker uniform, there's an expectation that he will lead this team to a title.
Did David Beckham win a title when he first got here? I'm trying to think. That's like the last guy to come over.
In his first year, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
But during the term, he won.
Right, he did eventually win.
Yeah.
I'm kind of more with Kelvin in this one, in that I think he's coming by himself. I don't, but I don't actually think that's the way he should be looking at it. Like, I think he should be looking at it as, look, I've wanted to do this. I want to do my LA my whole life. Like, this was my wife's thing when I was at ESPN and I came to work at CBS because we were moving here. And she's like, look, you think I liked you for your personality, for your looks? I liked you. And she was being sarcastic, but because I thought ultimately I'd love to live in Southern California. Who wouldn't? And you were going to be able financially to do it, and like, let's try it. Why not? And I'm sure LeBron James is much the same way. Like, look, I've done Miami. Miami's all right, you know? And then I've done Cleveland and Akron. Like, but I've always wanted to do LA. You can't come out here, spend time here, especially the restaurants he goes to, the elbows you rub with, and not think, like, I can do this. Anybody who's ever been here, that's the whole California dream. And now it's sitting there right in front of him. That's what the sale should be. Like, hey, dude, just come here. We'll figure the rest out. Because he comes here, then Paul George comes here, then Kawhi Leonard ultimately comes here. I think it ultimately happens. But I also, I do think his legacy is kind of made that if he takes this team that won, what, they win 35?
35 or something like 35. 35,
I think they won 35 games. You know, they win 46, 47, and then you saw also, look, he didn't win his first year in Miami. He did get to the finals, but didn't win his first year back in Cleveland. And if he gets to the playoffs and loses, it'll be a big thing because he'd been to 8 straight finals. But it'll allow him to know, all right, who do I want to roll with and who do I not want to roll with? Because I think right now the Lakers think, in all honesty, like Brandon Ingram, like he could go. Like super talented, looks like a Durant light, but more light than Durant. Right? They think Kuzma's a dog. We want to hold on to him. They think that Lonzo's going to take a huge jump between year one and year two.
He better.
Sure. And LeBron being there will keep his dad kind of at bay as well. Like they think that Josh Hart's a great role player for 10 years to come. Like he's going to be a Laker tried and true. And the guys that they got, you know, Svi Mihaljuk and Mo Wagner, like not stars, but good players. Let's see what they look like with LeBron. And then next year, when you have this free agency bonanza, now LeBron can handpick who he wants. Now he doesn't have to think, if I go to L.A., I'm in L.A. I've lived it. I know these guys. You come here, we do this. So I think that actually should be his mentality, although, Fred, I do agree with you that likely I ain't going anywhere alone. He didn't go to Miami alone. He didn't come back to Cleveland alone. He's not coming to L.A. alone, even if he should, like you said.
It's not that he should, I'll say it quickly, that he should, and I'm sure he's shooting text messages and calls to guys, and I think you want to. It's like we all would want you play ball. You shoot a text to your boys, let's go play ball. You want to play with your guys. But I think LeBron has just had such a place in his life and his family and his being a mogul that I think he's slightly okay coming along more than you think.
I think he's got to win here. I just do.
I'm not saying he's got to win
the first year.
But Fred, listen, I agree with you. I think Kelvin agrees with you. But he also, remember, you're dealing with the ego of a guy who he won with that roster. He won with J.R.
Right.
Winning an NBA championship with J.R. Smith as your starting two guard. Like, of all the accomplishments he has, that might be the greatest one. The dude didn't know the score at the end of an NBA Finals game one. Right? So what he was able to do this year, what he was able to do, was it 07 or 08?
Oh, 07.
Taking that, like, this dude Booby won everywhere. He's, so you're like... We're sitting here going, hey, he's got to win. Like, LeBron's like, I've never lost. Why would I not win?
Yeah, but the difference, I'll tell you when we come back. We'll get to that. And also, let's figure out where Kawhi Leonard is. It's Fred Rogan, Kelvin Washington, and Doug Gottlieb hanging by on AM 570 LA Sports.
Right now, she went and spent a couple days with her family. She's like,
She's like, get me out of here. You ready for it?
All right, I'm gonna tell you why. Point blank, the thinking with LeBron's a little flawed. Let me just share this with you. I mean, you know, you pointed out to J.R. Smith, a guy that didn't even know the score. Got to a point where LeBron carried him. Here's what I think. I think it's been a lot of years, and I think LeBron is tired of carrying everybody. And I think whenever he goes and whatever he does, he doesn't want to carry everybody anymore. And I think that is the genesis of he's got to have help here. I mean, I just can't buy. I love the weather. I love the lifestyle. He's still a competitor. And if he is a competitor, he wants to win. I mean, he wants to win because he is the best player in the game. And if that's the case, he needs help. That's why I don't believe that carrying everybody is going to work anymore.
Okay, let's get to a couple
of tough decisions.
Turn it on.
Okay.
There we go.
A couple of tough decisions. First decision. If you could only have one.
All right.
Would you rather have Paul George or Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard.
Okay. Now, keep in mind... If you get Kawhi, you're going to have to give up. As of now, you're going to have to give up something.
Fine.
Okay? If you can only have one, would you rather have Kuzma or Ingram?
Ooh, don't ask those questions.
I'd take Kuzma.
With this current team and what we're talking about, give me Kuzma, but Brandon Ingram's going to be the better player. Right now, I need shooting. I need a guy who can give me buckets right now, and that's Kyle Kuzma. But if I'm saying projecting 8 years out, Brandon Ingram will be the better pro.
I think these are the decisions they have to make. And I think, you know, it's a tough one in that, you know, you'll have people say, well, you put both in there. Like, no, you don't. I don't believe you do. I don't believe you put both Kuzma and Ingram in the deal. Like, look, we're giving you a starter and we'll give you picks and there's something else you want in the roster. Like, have at it. Now, look, if you're going to take those two, then you got to take Luol's contract too.
Right.
Which they're not going to want to take. So I think you do the, I'm with you. I vote Ingram off the island. Now, Ingram has little bit better length. He's only 20 years old. Kuzma's 22. But I look at it as if you're going to get two stars, then you have to have guys that are going to be and fit as role players. And I don't think Ingram fits in as a role player, whereas I think Kuzma does. Kuzma was at his best this year when he was an off-the-bench four, not when he's a starting 3-4. If you're bringing in Kawhi Leonard, now you have there's your starting front court, and you got to get a rim protector, which there's some rumors that they could go out and get DeMarcus Cousins now, because you can get DeMarcus Cousins on the cheap on a prove-it deal because he's coming off a Achilles tendon.
And that works on the cheap.
Right. And then you have your backcourt to go with. You get some veteran shooters as well. That, to me, makes the most sense if you can pull it off.
Do they pull off the deal? That's the question.
I think they do.
I do,
you know, too. I talked to some people in Boston today, and they were like, look, we're not trading Kyrie, and we're not trading Jason Tatum. Now, they want to have something else. And I just don't think that the Spurs, I don't think you do a deal out of spite, you know? Like, we're not going to, because we want to get the best deal possible.
Right.
This dude wasn't going to be with us, get the best deal possible. The best deal is, if you can get Ingram, if you think Ingram is, maybe they fight for Kuzma. I don't know. I think they fight for Ingram. I think they probably fight for Josh Hart. And then I think they fight for two first-round picks. And I think if you can swallow, if I'm Rob Pelinka, I'm like, all right, I love Josh Hart, but he's what stands in between me and Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi Leonard is what stands between me and getting LeBron James. I probably got to do it. I do think the deal gets done.
One of the things that drives me a little bit crazy is fans go nuts over the youth, right? I don't want to get rid of the youth. Well, if you don't got the right youth, what's the point of it?
Correct.
And to me, if you have a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who's what, 26 years old, probably?
I think he's 29.
I don't think he's that
old.
Old,
but we'll pull it up. But my point is, this guy is right in his prime for the next 5-6 years.
He turned 27 today.
27.
Happy birthday, Kawhi.
That is right. It is his birthday.
That'd be pretty cool to
The Spurs tweeted it out as if that was going to be like the one thing, like, happy birthday, Kawhi. Maybe he'll stick around.
Yeah, but remember the Raptors tweeted out.
Congratulations, Coach
of the Year to Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, that's just terrible.
NBA Twitter is awesome.
It is. It is. And Joel Embiid is the ambassador of it. But my point is, we got to be careful when we start talking about the youth. Like, everyone likes to reference the Warriors. Like, look what the youth, look what they've been able to do. Well, they have transcendent player. And you know, Steph Curry, he's the best ever at what he does. It's shooting, and he's a two-time MVP. And you have to be careful just keeping youth for the sake of the fact that they're youth. I don't like when people do that. If I can keep a youth or two, but I can get a Kawhi, I can get a Paul George, or I can get a LeBron, then I'm doing it, because I have the perfect mix of veterans along with the youth. I'm not just keeping youth just because they're young.
Well, that's the hard part, and I think that is the part that Magic kind of set up the other day, in which I don't think you liked it.
Well, guys are in their roles.
Well, he's actually right when he says that.
Yeah,
you know, it's they had this last year, and everybody was like, well, you need to re-sign. What's the left-handed big guy from
Randall?
Kentucky? Randall, right? Well, Randall worked because he was an off-the-bench small ball five. He doesn't shoot it well enough to be a starter. He can't play a four. He's got to play a five, but he's not a rim protector. And remember, you're playing on a 35-win team. Half the teams are trying to lose games. Like, in the right role, he's awesome. But
right.
He's going to be paid at a level above what the right role is from the NBA. You're right in that you can't get too infatuated with youth. But you do have to have a balance. College basketball, it's the same. You got to have a balance of your freshman, your sophomore, your juniors, your seniors. NBA, you can't have what the Warriors almost cost themselves a title this year, because they had too much age and experience off the bench and then too much youth. They had nothing kind of in the middle, right? You got David West, he's washed. Andre Iguodala, he's not washed, but dude, he came back from being hurt and got hurt again, right? That's what happens when you're old. Like, Sean Livingston can only play 20 minutes a game because his body can't hold up. And then the rest of those guys are just too young. Jordan Bell is too early to be putting him in the NBA Finals. The Western,
McCaw, those guys,
Those guys are like 2 years away. So they had this big gap. That's how it has to be put together for the Lakers to be successful. Yeah, you're going to bring in some old heads that can come in and make a shot and talk and understand exactly, be where LeBron needs to be and be kind of quasi-coaches. But you got to have some youth, some of those fresh legs to get you through the regular season, and then some guys that can come in and just play like mad dogs for 10 minutes. You got to have a little bit of both. You can't have all one or the other.
Do you find it surprising that in the reports the Spurs do not want Lonzo Ball? He seems the guy that the Lakers can't move.
You're talking about culture in sports all the time, right? You talk about the Patriots, the Spurs, and even Duke or wherever you want to go with it. LaVar Ball and what he would bring is the total opposite of what the Spurs preach and what they practice. So the idea, and not to mention, Lonzo Ball just doesn't have a jump shot, and maybe they view him as a player not as transcendent as we did, the media, last year. But I think even the culture, when you talk about the Spurs, that just does not fit what they do.
I think it's actually, they like DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray can't shoot either. Great defensively, all defensive team guy. They already have him. And they don't have to worry about the LaVar Ball thing. I actually think they like Lonzo. I think most people in the NBA like him. Like he's a good kid. His body's going to change. It's already starting to change.
Yeah,
you know, and I kind of think it actually works with LeBron, because one of the things they struggle with this year is he's not as demanding of the basketball. He's not as ball dominant as he should be. Like, he'll give it away and let other people make plays. He can play without the basketball. He's better as a shooter, as a catch and shoot guy, than he is because there's that hitch in his shot. He can't really shoot off the dribble, especially going to his right. You know, it's just really hard to get it all the
left
way over
to
the
right.
Left. So it doesn't surprise me. I think some of it is that's the Spurs and the culture, but a lot of it is, hey, we're already good with DeJounte Murray. Like, we're set there. You know, DeJounte Murray beat out Tony Parker, and that didn't cause a ripple last year. And I think they're kind of set there. I think that's more what it's about. I do think LeVar turns them off, turns other people off in terms of making a trade with the Lakers. But I don't think the Spurs specifically, it's about as much about LeVar as it is other places.
All right, so here's the bottom line, because I know you got to run after the half hour. To both of you, when the free agent period starts and you can sign guys, will the Lakers sign LeBron James?
Yes.
Yes.
That's done, okay? And in doing so, will they also trade for Kawhi Leonard?
That one is tougher. I'm going to say they'll find a way to do it. I don't think Paul George is coming. Paul George stayed in OKC.
If you can get LeBron, I think you get Paul George. Like, why would Paul George go and visit Dwayne Wade on his in is it Ibiza or is it Ibiza?
I like the latter.
The Ibiza?
Yeah,
I think the Ibiza is.
It sounded more authentic.
I think that's how you're supposed to. Like, why would you go all the way out to Ibiza, right? To meet with Dwayne Wade, unless you were going to go ask Dwayne Wade about playing. And I don't even know why you go there. You could just text him, like, "What's it like to play with LeBron?"
Who? Well, it wouldn't be as dramatic,
right? It was dramatic. Like, you go there. Yeah. I mean, Dwayne Wade's got to close that deal for LeBron, doesn't he? He's his best friend. So, I think Paul George comes. I don't know. I think they pull off the Kawhi deal.
So you think they can get three?
Yeah.
I think they get two.
They can get all three.
Yeah, I actually think they can get all three. I do. I agree with you, Doug. I think they can pull it off.
Here's my recruiting pitch to Paul George. Okay, I've lived and spent time in Oklahoma City. My in-laws are all in Oklahoma. It's a second home. I totally get it once you're there. You know, I've vacationed in Oklahoma. People are like, why would you vacation? Yeah, I mean, a week there is like a month anywhere else. It really is. No, I'm not kidding. And so I understand, like, you can have, like, KD had, he had basically like two apartment buildings combined. He had one big penthouse. He spent like $3 million and he sold it for $1 million, but it was like nothing. It's huge. Like, you can be king of your castle there. And I do think that people who know Russell Westbrook are like, dude, he's the best. But playing with Russ and hanging out with Russ are two completely different things. If I'm the Lakers, I call him in and I just show their offensive possessions of game six in the second half. And Russell Westbrook, everybody is so petrified to shoot the ball, they just keep throwing it back to Russell Westbrook, and he just keeps firing threes that he's not making.
But what about the Kyrie? The other side of that is Kyrie won a ring and still wanted to get away from LeBron.
It's true. It's a hard thing. I think you just explained that. Everybody knows, like, Kyrie's a different dude.
He is. That's true.
He's just a different dude. It's not no way to kind of explain it other than, like, he's trying to all toy with us with the flat Earth thing. I just think he's a different dude. That's how I
But he's a good actor. Uncle Drew, saw it last night.
Is it really good?
It was much more fun than you think.
Oh, I thought it would be good.
Yeah, much more fun.
My dad, by the way, first white guy ever to play at the Rucker Park.
Oh, really?
His nickname was the White Boy from Long Island.
I think they
did not have that great of nicknames back then.
Just to state the obvious.
Were you the killer? Were you the smasher? Like, no, it was the White Boy from Long Island.
Well, I got the White Boy from Long Island.
That wasn't that good. Wasn't that good?
Thank you for hanging out.
It's a pleasure. Anytime, guys.
All right, Doug.
This is great, Doug. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Have a good weekend. There you go. And, of course, you see Doug filling in for Colin all the time.
Yep.
Doug's on nationally on Fox Sports Radio. And he's on FS1. I mean, and you know what? He's a cool guy.
And he said we're going to get on the court together. But he insulted me. He insulted you earlier than he insulted me. He told me to lose weight. You did, in other words.
You know what? I'm going to send a proxy when you guys get on the court. I'm going to send my son in.
That's the first thing he said.
He's going to represent me.
First thing he said was, yeah, you know, you get injured when you're too heavy. I'm like, thanks, Doug.
All right, let's separate fact from fiction and find out who the smartest person in the room is. Don't forget the Atom Tickets app lets you browse movie titles, buy tickets, invite friends, pre-order concessions, all from your phone and skip the lines. Today, Atom Tickets wants to give you a chance at free movie tickets. Text them now. Text ACTION to ATOM1 for your chance to win. Standard data and text message rates may apply. All right, so Kelvin, it is a pleasure to welcome today's competitor to the show. She was on Going Rogan last week and outstanding. So we welcome Erin Foley, comic, host of the podcast Sports Without Balls.
It's got a good ring to it.
It does.
You are so good. Thank you for doing Going Rogan.
Oh, my God. I had so much fun. It was great. I love talking sports.
God, she's funny. So this is good.
I'm hilarious.
I'm a little nervous now.
Oh, no. I'm nervous.
There's a joy in your face, Fred, that we haven't had this week with other guests. So I'm a little bit nervous, Erin. I'm not going to lie.
I'm excited. I like to bring joy to people's faces.
As I said, Lonzo Ball, America's sweetheart. And you said, who suggested that? Where is that in American folklore?
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball.
Never heard anyone call him America's sweetheart.
No.
Okay.
No one.
Here we go, guys. Good luck to both of you. Movie critic praises Kyrie Irving's acting in Uncle Drew. You just saw it.
Well, am I the critic?
No.
Are you? Oh, I thought you just hand wrote this because it was me. I'm sorry. Continue. I'm sorry.
The movie Uncle Drew comes out nationwide today. One critic has given high praise to Kyrie Irving for his role as Uncle Drew. Richard Roper of the Chicago Sun-Times wrote the following. It is the best performance by any basketball player ever, including Ray Allen in He Got Game and LeBron James in Trainwreck. Kelvin, is that real or fake?
Believe it or not, I think it's real. Because I was very impressed with Kyrie. Saw it last night and really enjoyed it. And it was funnier than you thought. And he, for a guy who's like 26 years old to play a 76-year-old, he stayed in character pretty well. So I'm going to say I believe it's real.
Erin.
I'm going to say fake. I'm going to say, well, I haven't seen it yet. I can't believe I haven't rushed out to see Uncle Drew. I think I had some other things to do, just like breathing. But I'm going to say fake. I'm going to say fake because the other performances by Ray Allen, LeBron, I did see and I did love.
I'm hoping you're wrong. I'm hoping she's wrong, Fred.
No, she's right.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Well, it's, you know what? It might be fake according to you all, but according to the movie critic Kelvin Washington, it's true. It's
yeah,
real.
But we were quoting Richard Roper.
I know.
Not
yeah.
Kelvin
I know.
Washington.
I know.
That's what.
Wasn't
kinda
Richard Roper on Anchorman? I'm
was
kidding.
It?
I have no
I
idea.
Say, I was about to say, you had me thinking, Erin. I'm like, was he on there?
Telemundo suspends hosts who made racist gestures on live TV during World Cup celebration. A pair of Telemundo hosts on the morning show have been suspended by the network after making racist gestures following South Korea's 2-0 win over Germany on Wednesday. The two hosts made slant-eyed gestures and were laughing as the South Koreans helped Mexico into the next round of the World Cup. Erin, is that slanted? Is that real? Or is that fake?
Well, it was a totally inappropriate way to ask that question. Unfortunately, sickeningly, so my stomach just clammed up. I'm going to say it's real because I don't know.
You don't
just
think
the
they would know any better?
Just the Gurriel last year.
Yeah.
It feels like they go, oh, it's not racist. It's just cultural, and then everyone else cringes and throws up in their mouth. So I'm going to say real.
You're right in that. This kind of the climate of where we are right now in journalism and broadcasting that nothing is safe.
Yeah.
And so I could see that, but I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to say it's fake. I'm hoping that some little bit of professionalism told them not to do it. I don't like your face though, Fred.
You are getting hammered.
Dang it.
You are getting annihilated.
I am.
Oh, my
I am.
God.
Hold on. It's early.
It is early.
It's early.
You're still alive.
You saw a couple years ago LeBron and the Cavs come back from 3-1. Let's go.
That's never going to happen again, but yeah, go ahead.
Let's go.
Yeah, come on, LeBron. Floyd Mayweather just bought an $18 million diamond watch.
Real?
Called...
I'm sorry. I got carried away. It's Floyd Mayweather. I'm sorry. It's
the
Floyd and it's money. I figured it's, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, given your track record today. Floyd Mayweather has bought an $18 million designer watch called the Billionaire. It is 18-karat white gold, has 280 carats of diamonds. We know he bought it because he posted that on Instagram. Kelvin, is that real or fake?
There's too many real things in that. Floyd, money, jewelry, being stupid with money, and Instagram. I'm going real.
Okay, Erin.
I'm gonna bandwagon with you and put him on the idiot train because he's a permanent conductor on the idiot train and say that idiot did spend that much money and he probably lost it already.
The money and the watch.
The money.
All right. The sports world reacts to Drake's new album, Scorpion, and one NBA player is not a fan. Drake's new album, Scorpion, dropped Thursday night. It wasn't long before we saw the reaction from athletes on social media. Most of the reaction was very positive, but Sixers center Joel Embiid wrote this on Twitter. His music is all right, but I think Drake is a punk ass. So hard pass on this one. Aaron, is that real or fake?
That's a tough one, just given the Raptors 76ers. I can see Embiid. I want everything in my body wants to say yes, because it seems like an Embiid, like, you know, if he was playing on the Raptors, he'd be like, Drake is my father. I'm gonna say real. I'll say real.
You're gonna say real.
I'm gonna say real. I'll stick with real.
You were gonna go the other way.
I know.
I'm gonna go the other way and say it's fake because it's almost too Embiid-ish. I got your point. Like, yeah, it's plus when does he have time to already tweet? Like then he had to get up, eat breakfast. Like came out at like midnight. So
he gets up, tweets about Rihanna, and then Drake, and then his day's done.
And that's a proper order though.
I also give Rihanna over Drake tweet.
Yeah. I'm gonna say fake, Fred. Tell me I'm making a comeback.
You're making a comeback.
It's all fake news.
God, I should have just phony stuck stuff. With my gut.
Yeah, I don't know why. I tried to help you.
I know.
Oh, but I'd never get help. I'm sorry. Proceed.
You did, Fred. That's on me.
What are you on the train to bitter land? What do you mean you never get help?
Can I get a wink or something?
All right. Let's see how this one goes. New Giants rookie says he will not spend his NFL checks. Giants top pick running back Saquon Barkley told ESPN this week that he plans on just living on money from endorsements while putting all of his game checks into investing and saving. Barkley said, I don't want to touch that. I want to invest it, put it in the right people's hands, and learn as I continue to make investments. Saquon Barkley. Did he do it? Kelvin, real or fake?
I think it's real. He's been around Jay-Z. I think he's signed to Jay-Z's management or agency. Learning to not be on, if they do another 30 for 30 and it's called even broker, because they've already done broke, now it's like even broker. So I'm going real.
Aaron.
I'm obsessed with Saquon Barkley as a lifelong New York Giants fan. In fact, when he got drafted, I literally legitimately started crying.
You're crying
and
now.
I read this exact article. I'm already tearing up. I'm holding myself in the corner. This is 100% real.
Yes, it is.
You were supposed to go the opposite way so I could tie the game up, Aaron.
So this is it. Aaron, you'll go first on this one.
Okay.
If you answer as she does, you've lost.
Okay.
Okay, so it's simple. She's up by one. So if you go the same way, you're a loser. Now, if she gets it right, you're a loser. But if you miss Aaron, and Kelvin, you get it.
We tie.
You tie. Good luck.
I don't like how he said, I'm a loser. Now, he didn't, Jason, he didn't say that you lose. He said, I'm a loser. Right. I didn't like that.
All right, you lose. LeBron James won a $10,000 bet when he jumped off a cliff yesterday. As everyone anxiously awaits LeBron James' decision about his future, he sent out a video on Instagram of himself jumping off a cliff into the water in the Caribbean yesterday. The video went viral. TMZ reported this morning that he did it on a $10,000 bet. Aaron. For the win, is that real or fake?
Ooh.
Oh God! I'm gonna answer this with a lot of confidence because I have no idea. I'm gonna say fake. I'm gonna say he was resting at home, making his decision to opt out of the contract.
So I know that he did jump. That's real, but okay. I don't know that it was a bet. So I'm hoping she's wrong here.
Your only chance is to go opposite of her.
Well, I'm going opposite. I'm just saying. So that was my version of a drum roll.
Yeah, okay.
So you're going opposite.
Yes.
You're saying it's fake.
No, she said it was
What
fake.
Did you say?
I said it was fake.
Yeah, I'm saying real.
Oh, Kelvin.
It's all fake news.
Yes!
It's phony stuff.
Loser! Big L!
You lost, not loser, guys. All right, stop.
It's a fine line between you lost and loser.
I feel like I got a permanent L on my forehead for the rest of the day.
All right, because you won, will you stay around?
I'd love to.
All right, Aaron Foley, host of the podcast Sports Without Balls, will hang out with us. We still have to do the BJ's question. We'll do that in the next segment. Get more into LeBron James. It's Fred Rogan, Kelvin Washington, and now Aaron Foley on AM 570 LA Sports. No, it's Fred NBC LA. That's how you can follow me.
I like the other one.
Yeah, well, Kelvin Washington in for Rodney today. Aaron Foley, host of the podcast Sports Without Balls, hanging with us a few more minutes. We didn't even do a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question. So somebody's got to win. We got to give you the $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. What do you think? It's Kawhi Leonard's birthday. What is your birthday wish for Kawhi Leonard? 866-987-2570. And we don't have a ton of time for calls, so some people get online and we'll just pick the best one. Fair?
That works. It's Friday, Fred. Sometimes you got to fly by the seat of your pants.
Now, Aaron, on the podcast Sports Without Balls, how would you sum up this LeBron James sweepstakes?
Oh, my God. Oh, I just want it to end. I want him to decide literally in the next hour so we can just stop talking about it. That's how I'd summarize. But yeah, I was saying last week, I can't believe last week, it literally right after the finals, the sentence came out. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I feel bad for LeBron James. And then I go, oh God, what was I? I just had a moment where I lost my marble. It was right after, you know, J.R. Smith didn't do math and the whole thing went to crap. And I literally came out of my mouth and I was like, oh, wait, I think he's going to be fine.
Life
I think
will
he's
going to
be fine. Yeah. He's going to text everybody, get the whole gang together and pick Cleveland, New York. He's going to be fine. He's going to get his, you know, they're all texting. They're all,
oh, for sure.
They're literally plotting. Right now, it's all going down. They're all plotting. If I was LeBron, I'd be like, you know, I'll get those triangle, get Paul George, get Leonard, get them all on a speakerphone and go, where are we moving? Where are we going?
Just like put tampering to the side. Let's just call. Let's all FaceTime.
Yeah.
Hop on a conference call.
Wait,
FaceTime.
But you can't tamper if you're the players. You can talk to each other.
Can talk to each other. You just can't talk to the owner. Whatever. Right. Yeah.
I wonder if LeBron, Fred, is he at the point where, and this conversation we had earlier with Doug, I just wonder, he makes it known, hey, Kawhi, hey, Paul, I'd love to play with you guys. Think you're good. Think you're talented for sure. Let's do it. But I don't know if he's pressing it as much as he did 2010 when he's like, D-Wade, let's make this happen. Chris, come on, we need you. Chris Boston. I feel like he's like, I would love to play with you guys. Great. I think it'd be great. You know, we'd be a good team. But a part of me sees, I think he's just jumping off cliffs right now. Where is he? Tahiti or something? I don't know. He's jumping off cliffs.
He's in his decision cave.
Exactly. And I feel like there's a part of me that feels like LeBron is at a place where if this is the move I'm making, this is the move I'm making with my family, and I would love you to come. If you don't, so be it. I'm coming.
I feel the opposite. I feel like there's cell service in this cave in Tahiti, and he is like, this is his last push. He's been to 8 finals. He's lost 32 times. He's exhausted. I think his kids are like, you know, whatever. And I think he literally is plotting. He isn't going to take a step on each team unless he has his super team capes on, gonna win.
Well, part
in the
of
next
the, Aaron, isn't there some arrogance to, you see what I keep doing practically alone?
Yeah,
where I keep getting teams to the finals practically
alone.
But
he keeps losing,
and he can't keep doing it practically alone.
That's why I literally was like, God, I kind of feel bad. But I was like, okay, I need to get another drop because I'm thinking about this too much. But yeah, no, I heard you guys talking earlier. Like, I'm with you, Fred. I think he will never take a step unless he's got his super group. I just, the thought of him, I think, being in the finals one more time and getting swept or 5 or 6 or 7 games, I just think it's weighing on him.
Doesn't there come a point when you're like, I'm so much the man, this is what I'm doing, y'all come along, versus let's all get together, if you go, I'll go. There's a part where it's like, look, this is what I'm doing. I'm the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Hop on. Paul George, you've never won. This is what I'm doing. If you coming, you're coming, but come on. Kawhi, you only have one. You know,
well, Kawhi can't decide.
That's,
you know what
jump,
I mean? So,
right.
And
he can just keep trying to force.
We were talking about this last week, Fred. Like, if I don't think LeBron, I don't know if he can go first. I mean, yeah, ego wise, he can do anything he wants. He's the greatest basketball player. But if he goes, and then you're like, oh crap, what if nobody follows? Then he's got ball. Like,
he's got,
you know,
next year.
Yeah. I think he sits back, gets on the group texts, and they all put their capes on and do super group.
See, I think so too, and I also think this. So he comes by himself.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's make that argument. He just shows up. I'm LeBron, and I'm here. And for whatever reason, Paul George decides I'm going to stay in OKC, and they can't pry Kawhi Leonard out of San Antonio. All right, so now here he is. He's got to wait another year. In another year, he'll be another year older.
Yeah.
and he'll be more exhausted from carrying yet another team.
And then exactly. I also think now you're let's say you even get Paul George, right? Let's say you don't get Kawhi, you get Paul. Can they beat Houston? Can they go through Golden State? So it's like, I don't know if I want to do that if I'm LeBron.
But if it's based only around other people, and then why is Cleveland even an option? You get what I mean? Because they don't have anybody over there. So then why is we should completely take Cleveland out of this?
Yeah, but the difference is, okay, better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
I'll give you that.
If he stays in Cleveland, all right, I'll sign a one-year deal. And I'll wait till Kawhi's up as a free agent. Kawhi, tell him you don't want to be traded. All of a sudden, if he stays in Cleveland, Kawhi Leonard's going to go, I don't want to be traded.
I'll meet you in L.A. Yeah.
You wait. Yeah. All of a sudden, you know what? I thought about it. I'm just going to stay another year in San Antonio.
Yeah.
That will happen if he stays in Cleveland. And then in a year, they come together. But I just can't believe he could come here by himself. All right. One of these two is going to win BJ's. It's all that right. Simple.
Win BJ's.
See, you already know the name of her podcast. See, this is just getting crazy, okay?
Aaron, you might find this hard to believe, but
I've never wanted to win a BJ, just for the record. Ever.
All right, so one of these two is going to win.
Okay.
Richard in Norwalk, you have 30 seconds to give Kawhi Leonard a birthday wish. Go.
Hey, nothing but the best, Kawhi. Happy birthday, my boy. I got this from a movie. Happy birthday, homie, from me. Yeah. Happy birthday, homeboy, from me. Yeah, make a wish. Now you're a Laker. Happy birthday.
All right, hold on, because we only have two today because we did it right at the end. And now let's see if Jerome in San Bernardino will beat him. Go ahead, Jerome.
Hello. Happy birthday, Kawhi. He wants to play for LeBron James. That's it.
Okay, I got to tell you, you lost, Jerome. Richard in Norwalk, congratulations. You won BJ's.
That wasn't even close.
That wasn't even... What, you know what happened? Jerome was on hold, and his boss came in.
Yeah. So
Jerome was on. He was like, you come to Lakers. And he had to hang up. Hey, boss.
He had like a 3-minute script, and he's like, he wants to play for LeBron. Yep. Oh, crap, I'm going to get fired.
His boss came in. Jerome, are you on the phone?
And either that or his wife. Maybe that's the same person.
One or the other.
Richard, you won a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. Over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, a one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. Aaron, thank you for hanging out.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate
it. Next time, more time.
Yes,
okay?
Let's do it.
All right, great.
Can I get on the podcast? Like, how's it? Because
yeah, where do we
hear
the podcast?
By the way, I do sprinkle in balls,
okay.
So you're both welcome.
I got a shot then. All right.
I've told you, really funny. When we come back, why San Antonio is full of hot air. It's Fred Rogan and Kelvin Washington on AM 570 LA Sports. Keep it 100, I'd rather you trust me than to. Keep it a whole 100, don't got you, I got nothing. I got something. Later this hour, Ned Coletti will join us. Dodgers getting ready to open against Colorado tonight. You'll hear it right here on AM 570 LA Sports. What happened to Walker Buehler yesterday?
Man, I, you know what? They put him in a bad situation. I mean, we know how meticulous, you know, baseball players are, let alone pitchers. And it just be, hey, 6:45, you thought you were going to be Oklahoma. No, actually, you're going to fly to L.A., and then you're going to pitch. That threw him off his rocker.
I would say it did. So we'll get into that with Ned and the possibility and the talk of the Dodgers acquiring Manny Machado. So anyway, talks are ongoing now. Lakers are involved in talks, and reports are the Celtics with San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard. Danny Ainge came out a few minutes ago and said, I don't expect any blockbuster deals this summer. And if that's the case, at least from the Celtics' perspective, they're out. Because that would be a blockbuster deal.
Yeah, and if that's somebody that the Spurs were looking at as, they have the best assets to give. With all those first-round picks and obviously all that accumulation of talent that they have, from the Jason Tatums, the Kyries, the Gordon Haywards, the Jaylen Browns, I think that was the best route that the Spurs wanted in a perfect world, perfect scenario. But now with him saying that's out, and I think they kind of want to play with their toys a bit too. The Celtics, see what they got. You know, maybe one time around, see what we have with all of these guys healthy and playing. Because they didn't have Gordon Hayward. They didn't get to play. But
right.
37 seconds, and then Kyrie missed so many games, and especially, you know, the postseason. So I think the Spurs now, as much as they don't want to, Fred, they got to turn west.
And that's the point. That's why they're full of hot air. And when you hear stuff, understand it's calculated and things are delivered for a certain reason. And when initially the Spurs said, we're not going to talk to the Lakers. There's no way. We're not going to listen to these guys. We won't even take their call. Well, of course they're going to take their call. And they're going to take their call because they have no option. I mean, they're backed into a corner now. Kawhi Leonard has backed them into a corner. And there's nowhere for them to turn. if he doesn't want to play anywhere but Los Angeles, they're going to be forced to trade him to Los Angeles, because if they don't, they get nothing. And there comes a point in time where, you know, you don't cut off your nose to spite your face. We'll show you. No, Kawhi Leonard will show you. And that's why we're where we're at now, where there are serious talks between San Antonio and the Lakers.
It's, do you want to be, if you're any other team, obviously, beside the Lakers, do you really want to be that Oklahoma City situation where we take a flyer, we take a rental on Kawhi, and that we can sell him on our city, sell him on our team, sell him on a chance to win, and hope that Kawhi will somehow say, nah, never mind, to L.A., which I don't think that's happening. Kawhi Leonard strikes me as a guy who's very calculated and knows exactly what he wants, and he wants L.A. Now, is L.A. the Lakers, or is L.A. just L.A.? And does that mean the Clippers have a chance?
Well, there was a report today that there's increased pressure on the Lakers now to make this happen, because the Clippers are saying, you stay in OKC one more year, just one more year, or I'm saying San Antonio, one more year, and next year we'll sign you as a free agent. And according to the reports, his camp is saying, oh yeah, you know, he might be interested in that. He just said LA. I think, quite frankly, that's not true. I think that's something that was put into motion. I think they told it to Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
I think that was put into motion to give everybody else in the league, not the Lakers, you better hurry up. I think it's everybody else. He's not playing for you. I think that's what that meant. I don't think it was a shot at the Lakers better hurry. I think it's more anybody else in this league better not trade for him.
Right. I mean, the Clippers, they don't have a chance outside the fact that it is L.A. And if he said, I wanted to play in L.A., but I think Kawhi Leonard says, I want to play for the Lakers. Get this thing done. The only thing you could say, though, if you're the Clippers, if I had to play their side of this, is you hope that Jerry West, who's been able to pull some magic moves before, I guess no pun intended, you know, he'll have an opportunity to do so. Or maybe the fact that Kawhi Leonard's personality, he's not the type who, I don't need the purple and gold per se. I just wanted to be home. So maybe that's like the only hope, the mustard seed of faith, if you're the Clippers, is that when Kawhi says LA, he means it, and he doesn't have to be a Laker because of his personality type. That's the only thing you can maybe hang your hat on if you're the Clippers.
Well, I like what Jerry West is going to do with the Clippers. It's going to take some time, but he will get them turned around. I mean, they are going to be a competitive team, and eventually, hopefully for Clipper fans, be in the conversation. But again, I think that was just a message to everybody else around the league. Don't do it. Boston, don't do it. Philadelphia, don't do it. He wants L.A.
At some point, Fred, if you're the Spurs, and there's been so many reports over the last couple of weeks, one of them is, you know, you don't want to help the Lakers because a couple of ways. One, you're helping them by giving them, you know, who they want and the guy that they'll have because they'll re-sign with them. But they also, if you get him, they get him, being the Lakers, then all of a sudden you get LeBron.
Right.
And so at what point, though, if you're the Spurs, you kind of have to wipe your hands free and say, we did the best we could. We gave him our pitch. There's reports that he looked Popovich in his eye and said, I don't want to be in San Antonio. And when you get that from a man who seems to be, Kawhi Leonard is a guy who's using the media, manipulates the media all the time. He seems to be very straightforward. If he looks you directly in your eye and he says, I don't want to be here, you, at that point, you can't sway him. You can't put a billboard together. You can't put some presentation. He wants out. At what point do you have to say, we'll do it, but we want player X, you know, these two players and these two picks? And if you're the Lakers, who is the guy you feel is untouchable? Brandon Ingram? Is it Kyle Kuzma? Is it a package? We can't give you those two guys?
Well, I look at it like this. First, when is the point where you have to say, you know, this is it. We're going to move, and we're not going to worry about what we do for the Lakers. We got to worry about our own business. For San Antonio, that point is now. I mean, the game is over for them. The only way that game changes is if LeBron says, I'll stay one more year in Cleveland. I think if that happens, Kawhi Leonard goes, magically, I think we can work this out for one year here in San Antonio. Just one more year, and then they both come together. So I do think it ties. As for the Lakers, who's untouchable in my mind? Nobody. Nobody's untouchable, because I think if you get Kawhi, you get LeBron, I think Paul George comes as well, and now you've got a team that can win the championship. So I don't think anybody's untouchable.
You know what's interesting about this? I slightly talked to Jason about this once before, but where we've come now, where we have forced NBA players to make moves simply based off of rings. Like, follow me for a second.
All right.
It used to be, if you were good, you were good. If you were great, you were great. That's how we did it. You know, and the rings were a bonus. It wasn't the only thing. But I think Kobe Bryant, and to his credit, he's the first time we really started to count rings because he was the first time we saw somebody Michael Jordan level. And we went, oh, could he be better than Michael? In his first, you know, 6 years or 7 years or so. We're like, oh, is he better than Michael? And so we had to start counting rings. Well, he only has 3 rings at the time. And then he got 2 more. And then, well, now he only has 5, so he's never better than Jordan. And we all came to the conclusion he's not. And now we do that with LeBron because now he's the next guy, okay? He's better than Kobe. Can he be better than Jordan? Well, he doesn't have enough rings. He's lost in the finals 4 times. It's like now we only do that. And that's why you get Kevin Durant coming out and saying, I wanted to join the Warriors because I felt it was the only validation I could get. It's because I needed those rings. And so we've created this thing where now all of this movement is it's only based around rings. Well, because I have to do it to validate how good I am. And I just think it's really interesting because it wasn't that back in the day.
Well, back in the day,
we didn't slight Karl Malone.
But they didn't have this kind of movement back in the day. They couldn't do they're doing today back in the day. Because, Kelvin, if the objective every year is to win a title, if you're a competitor, first, I guess, is get paid. Get paid as much as you can. Survive in the league as long as you can. But ultimately, you want to win. Everybody that steps on the court wants to win every year. Why wouldn't you go to a situation where you believed you could win?
But that's why, and you can say that these old guys are lying to us, but you get the old guys who say, like I heard recently Dominique Wilkins was asked this, would you have gone and teamed up with the Celtics or the Pistons or these? He said, no, I hated them. I wanted to beat them, and if I couldn't beat them, you know, my way with my guys, I wouldn't. So I do believe there's an element of lying to that because they just didn't move, as you said, free agency-wise back then. But I do think there wasn't as much pressure. Like, you weren't terrible player, or we didn't hold that against you as much that you didn't win. It was Karl Malone, Stockton. They tried a couple times against Jordan. They just couldn't get it done. We don't bash him. Now we bash guys. Like, oh, he's not – well, he doesn't have any – how come he didn't have any rings? And I feel like we've created this new narrative where you're only in the upper echelon if you get rings. And now guys are like, calling us, team up, let's do this, let's make this happen because I have to get this ring.
Because when the old guys played, there wasn't as much of the AAU mentality.
Agreed.
Because now, and, you know, my son played AAU. I coached, you know, AAU basketball very well. You know, we'll get our guys, we'll go out there, and we'll win the Nike Invitational in Anaheim. You know, we'll win the double pump summer classic in Anaheim. Seriously. We'll go to Vegas and win the Big West tournament. Everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. They play on teams all year round. They play against each other all year round. They develop friendships. It's a different mentality.
It is. And we gotta cut the players some slack, too, in the sense that you just mentioned it. Think of pickup ball, and Doug was here earlier, Doug Gottlieb. You know, when you had a chance, you wanted to play with your boys. And if that meant I also could win, that's great. And so we got to cut them slack that now they have the liberty to make a bunch of money, and they can also maybe cherry pick and choose their teams. So they're living a life right now.
All right, let's do 2 more quick things here before we get Ned Colletti on. First, Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavaliers, has come out, and he has shared, according to Stephen A. Smith, with some of the owners in the league, he wants LeBron James to leave because, quote, then I'll get my team back. I'll be the man. I'll be in charge. I won't have to put up with this. So I want him to leave, showing that he continues to be delusional.
And plus, it's easy to say that when you know he's leaving. You know what I mean? I can always say that. I was tired of her anyway. When you know you're about to get break up. She's about to dump you. Yeah, I couldn't stand her anyway. I'm tired of her. Well, yeah, she's leaving you. She's gone. So I think it's easy to say that now. Because he knows LeBron's leaving.
All right. Well, there's that. And if that's the case, we know where he's going. And now there is this. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting. DeAndre Jordan still deliberating his $24.1 million option with the Clippers. The deadline tonight, 11:59 p.m. Talks on a sign-and-trade could pick up again, but dormant today. Jordan could opt out and sign a free agent deal with the Mavericks or opt in and work with the Clippers on a trade. What do you think he does?
Ooh, that's a great one. I think they'll do a sign and trade. I think they're gonna do a sign and trade at some point later on in the year. They'll do a sign and trade, and he'll somehow get back to the Mavericks where he originally wanted to go. What, 3 years ago, when they had the hostage situation and they held him hostage and they quarantined him and they all said no, come on back to LA. I think he'll eventually get out of there because, like I said, I think it's the end of that era. The CP, the Blake, DeAndre.
I think he has to opt in because let's say he opts out. And I'm a free agent. Are the Mavericks going to pay him $24 million a year, $25 million a year for 3 years?
Especially in a team that it would be different if he was maybe that piece that gets us over the edge. He's not. They're still building. And I don't think you look at DeAndre as like he's a massive building block. So he opts in, and then they eventually do a sign and trade somewhere.
And hopefully the Clippers are able to do that. Hopefully they're able to pull that off. Because if not, now they've got, well, then they'd lose him next year anyway. But, you know, for the Clippers' sake, You want him to go somewhere else. You want to get that money off the books. Next year, they're going to have a ton of cap space.
Yep, and then there's guys coming out next year. I mean, we already know about the Klay Thompson's going to be available. Jimmy Butler. There's other guys going to be available. And they're just slowly rebuilding that team to finally lock in a couple of guys and have some pieces. So I think that era is coming to an end. Doc Rivers is going to be – he's going to be the lone guy from that era in a matter of months.
And he should be.
You're asking me.
And he should be.
And he's even lost his memory, of course, running basketball. Now he's down to just, hey, you just coach. And by the way, your son's gone.
Yeah, well, his son's gone, but now just coaching gives him more time to play golf.
Yeah.
Fred, don't talk about me like that, Fred.
No, I'm telling the truth, Doc.
Yeah.
I'm telling the truth. You don't want to play him. He'll take your money on a course.
Can he get the Clippers into the finals? Can he do that?
Let's go one step at a time. He'll take your money on the course. All right. We're going to bust the break. We've got something really special if you're a soccer fan and if you like Mexico. And then on the other side, Ned Coletti will join us. Fred Rogan and Kelvin Washington on AM 570 LA Sports. Right now. Now, here's the deal. So don't call unless you want to do this. Monday morning at 7 o'clock, Mexico will play in the World Cup against Brazil. We have 5 sets of 4 tickets. So we have 20 tickets. And what we're going to do is have a huge viewing party at the iHeartRadio Theater right across the street here in Burbank. You'll come down. We'll feed you breakfast, and you'll get to watch Mexico and Brazil on the big screen. So if you want to do that, only if you want to do that, 866-987-2570, 866-987-2570, for people that want to do that, we will take the first 5 callers. Appreciate that, big boy, and I thought that was. By the way, Rodrigo, Richard, John, Eric, and John, congratulations. You've all won 4 passes to the iHeartMedia LA viewing party for the FIFA World Cup match between Mexico and Brazil Monday, 7 a.m., iHeartRadio Theater in Burbank. Here's the deal. You'll watch the game live on a 47-foot screen. We'll give you breakfast. We'll give you prizes and more. You've got to be 21 and over. Presented by the Los Angeles Football Club. Newest expansion team to join Major League Soccer. Join LAFC in the heart of Los Angeles as they kick off the inaugural season at the Bank of California Stadium. Join the club. Visit LAFC.com to become a member today. If you didn't win right now, you still have a shot to win your way in. Just keep listening to AM 570. Go to AM 570 LA Sports to enter.com. Okay, could I have butchered this anymore?
I don't think it was that. I don't think it was that bad.
Oh, no.
You're Steph Curry right now. You missed 1 free throw and you're mad.
Okay.
It was just 1 free throw.
Yeah, but I missed about 6 here. So let's try again. If you didn't win right now, you still have a chance to win your way in, not win your way win. Just head to am570lasports.com to enter. We've also tweeted out the link from the Rogan and Rodney Twitter account. That take care of it, Jason?
I think so.
All right.
Swish. You're good.
You're good. Here's what I'll do with this. All right, now let's bring out our buddy Ned Coletti. Ned, thanks for being here.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
All right. All we're doing now is hearing trade rumors. Manny Machado to the Dodgers. The Mets, they're having a fire sale. Everyone is available. You sat in the chair. You know what it's like. So what's it like?
Well, think about the Mets for a second, okay? They may trade Syndergaard or DeGrom. That's the report. Well, if you're sitting in the Mets big chair and the team calls you and says, would you talk about Syndergaard? Would you talk about DeGrom? To do your due diligence, you'd have to say, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're thinking. Does that mean you're going to trade them? No. Does it mean you're going to listen? Well, you should listen on everybody. I think, except with rare exception, a Kershaw, somebody like that. Okay, then you just shut it off. People don't even call on players like that. But when a team goes in a different direction than they were supposed to this year and are losing, people are going to call and ask the question. That doesn't mean they're going to trade them. That only means they're doing due diligence and they're listening.
Ned, when you talk about Manny Machado, I mean, the Dodgers haven't had to do such a big trade or haven't made a big splash in quite some time. You, Darvish, of course, last year. But is this something now that you can almost say they've earned the ability to do? Other teams have done it, and we were so close from winning a World Series. We're that close. This could be the thing that gets us over the edge. Do they deserve that opportunity to do so?
Well, you know, it's less predictable than people think it is. And just because you add one player doesn't mean that player is going to put you over the top. Especially on this club, this team is so well balanced. As I look at this club, you look at the offense of this club, and granted, Manny Machado is one of the great players in the game. He's a lineup changer, offense changer. But you really got to build a team that can pitch and have play great defense and do those other things too. So it doesn't mean that you wouldn't want maybe your best hitter, and maybe one of the best hitters that would change leagues, probably the best hitter that will get moved this trading season. But you got to take a lot of things into consideration before you do that, because you're only going to have so many bullets to use too. And whoever goes after Manny Machado, they'll be using most, if not all, of their bullets to do it. So you better be sure you're fortified across the board with everything else, and that he's not necessarily a luxury acquisition. This team's offense has been stellar. So I think there's a lot of different factors that do come into play when you're thinking about it.
You know, talking about Machado and trades, when you're in the chair, Ned, do you use the media to your advantage at times? I mean, do you plant stuff? Do you talk about stuff off the record so it gets out?
Me?
Overall. Overall, Ned.
Yeah, probably here and there. I tell you what I did. I had probably two or three writers of national, who were national baseball writers, and I had long-standing relationships with them where, you know, they knew how far they could take me and vice versa. And I think what I would do from time to time, I never gave them any inside information on the Dodgers, what we were trying to do, although they could probably figure it out. But I would say, hey, look, I need to know what such and such a team is. We're chasing a certain player. Seems like there's four or five teams in on that player. Can you call the team that we are that has the player and see what their thought process is? And at the same time, if you need me to give you an insight into some other team outside of the team I'm working for, what their thought process is, what they're trying to do, I'll trade you up some info. And once in a while, you do plant some stuff here and there because people are so persistent with just the rumor and the innuendo. Like yesterday, you saw Cole Hamels, maybe traded before the All-Star break. Who planted that? Is that reality? Is that Texas trying to stir up some activity, the sooner the better? Is he really going to trade him before the All-Star break? He may if he gets the deal he wants, but you don't know really the source of information. And at this time, in this era, and the way social media works, anybody that'll talk about anything is going to start a story. I love somebody to keep track of everything that's talked about from like a week ago until the 31st of July to see what actually happens. I think the percentage is probably less than 10.
You know, I'm wondering because obviously the Lakers are involved in trade talks with the Spurs about Kawhi Leonard, and you had to deal with trades throughout your career. So somebody calls you. How does this dance work, Ned? Do they call and say, hey, Ned, okay, I'll give you this person and this person for that one. How long does it take, and how do you finally get to where you're going, and how much poker playing is involved?
Oh, the poker playing is played until like the last 15 minutes at a deadline. Everybody's trying to get the best deal. Everybody's trying to hold back a better player that you're going to put in the deal or in the chase. The way it typically starts is you call around all year long. And some take a day, some take months. Manny Ramirez I acquired in about a six-hour time frame from beginning to end. Adrian Gonzalez I acquired over 5 months beginning to end. So it depends on every trade is different. Every dynamic has got its own fingerprint to it. But the way it typically starts is I would always call around, and I was always in the acquiring mode, and I would say, hey, you know, Ben Charrington, if you have any interest in moving Adrian Gonzalez, give me a shout, keep me in mind. Well, we're not going to do that now. We can't do that today. That's nothing we'd even think about. Just file it away. If you get to that point, no, you got to give me a shout. And that's how it usually starts. And then you can tell by tonality in the call. You can tell by the change of voice. You can tell by maybe a little bit of an anxiety from here and there from people you know and you've been doing business with for decades. And then you keep following along. And then they'll call back and say, yeah, we'll think about moving Gonzalez, but we're going to need A, B, and C, and D. And you know A, B, C, and D is not what they're going to – they do it today for A, B, C, and D, but you know in time that'll probably be a little bit less than that. And so you just keep walking the walk and staying in touch with people. But you've always got to have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, because you don't know what some other team is going to necessarily do.
You could tell Ned was enjoying kind of the puppet master godfather there. You know, you're kind of pulling the strings a little
bit. Ned's the man.
Yeah. Ned, let me ask you this. Walker Buehler, is this a result-based thing, what we saw last night, where if he pitches well and he does exactly what they want, which was give him three innings, hopefully, and we would say that was a great move, but because it went poorly, lost the lead, are we looking at this now as that was a bad move? So was it result-based, simply, the Dodgers' decision to pitch him?
I think it's isolated. I think it shows how tough it is to play in the big leagues. You've got a young player that's been maybe one of the great stories through about 6 weeks of starting, where he was so dominant. And he's thinking one thing, I think, about going to Oklahoma City and making a rehab start. Next thing you know, he's on a flight back, and he's going to pitch after Kershaw. And, you know, the Cubs are a good team. Everybody playing in the big leagues can play. And so you've got that aspect of it. You've got someone who hasn't pitched in about 20 days that is called on in a close game to do what he's supposed to do. I think it's isolated. I think I don't think obviously that's who Walker Buehler is. I think obviously what he did before that is more in line with what type of talent he is. I think it was isolated. I think it'll come and go, and I think that it'll be forgotten here in time.
Yeah, a lot to ask of a guy to get up at 6:30 in the morning, get on the plane, fly to L.A., rush to the stadium, and pitch.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a pickup game. This isn't a sandlot. I mean, it's the big leagues, and you got a team that's been to the LCS the last few years, a World Series team from 2 years ago. So, you know, they know what they're doing, too. And you got a kid that's probably trying to get his mind right as he's flying here and not knowing exactly what the day's going to bring. And it was just it's kind of a rushed situation, I think, but it was worth the gamble, and it just didn't turn out.
All right, Ned. Well, thanks for jumping on today. Have a terrific weekend.
All right, guys. All the best.
Thank you, Ned.
All right, thank you, Ned. And it's Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates starting at 6. And then the call of the game right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Dodgers and Rockies tonight at 7.
And listen, the Atom Ticket app lets you browse movie titles, buy tickets, invite friends, pre-order concessions, the whole thing, and all from your phone. And you can skip the lines. So today, Atom Tickets wants to give you a chance at free movie tickets. Hollywood busting out all over with some great titles. Text them now. Text ACTION to ATOM1 for your chance to win. Standard data and text message rates may apply.
Adam is in for Kevin once again. Adam, you've done a terrific job this week.
Thank you, Fred. The check's in the mail, as Kevin would say. Yes. All right, here we go. Good call, bad call on the length of this suspension. Yesterday, the NFL announced that Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston has been suspended 3 games for touching an Uber driver in an inappropriate and sexual manner without her consent. Fred, the NFL has made PR mistakes with suspensions that were insufficient in the past. So good call, bad call on Winston being disciplined and out for the first 3 games of the season.
Well, let me ask you a question. When Tom Brady was suspended for deflating balls, wasn't it 4 games?
It was.
So Jameis Winston is suspended 3 games for inappropriate touching in an Uber, basically.
And he's not appealing it.
Well, it's a bad call. I think that if you do something like that, don't you think that's worse than deflating balls? At the very least, shouldn't it be at least 4 games?
The inequities of the NFL disciplinary committee has been rampant for a while now. They've had issues there. Kelvin, question to you. Good call, bad call on this.
It's a very bad call, but here's the thing. It's a bad call that we won't care about in a week, which is why Jameis Winston, he just said, I'll take it. Because as you mentioned, Fred, you'd want to use Tom Brady. You want to use if you were to kneel or anything, that gets you out of the league. But we've now seen domestic violence is not a big enough issue that people really care. Because guys done it, they get picked up. They get picked on teams. They get drafted, whatever the case may be. And I thought it was supposed to be 6 games is what the league has set it at. 6 games if this is what happens, but it's only 3. So it's a bad call by the league. They just always kind of stick their finger in the air and see where the wind blows, and they seem to make these decisions. But will anyone really care in a matter of a couple of months? I doubt it.
And you're right. They said 6 games would be happening after the Ray Rice situation, but that's not happening now. So, Vic, good call, bad call on the Jameis Winston suspension.
Bad call. The NFL's got to get out of the wisdom business. It's a stupid call. I mean, you go back in the day to, you know, all these alleged sexual assault cases. Look at Ben Roethlisberger back in the day in Nevada. I'm not even sure how many games he was suspended. But is three enough? Is six justice? Obviously, you know, Tampa has got a lot of on their plate. They got to pay Jameis $20 million. And they got a backup quarterback for three games. Is their season over? And I'll tell you, they have to have a consistency with these calls, with the Ray Rice situation, now with the Jameis Winston situation. Yeah, Jameis is getting off easy.
They have been consistently inconsistent on this stuff, the NFL. Someone who has been consistent at the plate as we head to Major League Baseball here. Good call, bad call on Mike Trout not participating in the home run derby. Here he was talking about it on with Dan Patrick earlier today.
Any interest in the home run derby?
No, I'm not going to do it.
What's that do to your swing? Does it really have that much of an adverse effect?
You know, not really. You know, it's just, it probably, you know, I haven't done it obviously, but, you know, what I've heard from is just, it's just a, you know, a 10-minute grind of BP swings, of full max swings. And, you know, we take BP and, you know, it's around a 5 and 7. It's not, you know, 3 minutes or whatever, however the process is. But, you know, it's just, I don't know if it'll affect your swing. You know, statistics say it does.
So Kelvin Trout is second in all of baseball with 23 home runs. Good call, bad call on him not putting on a show for the fans in D.C. during the All-Star break.
I think it's a bad call. And I get his reasoning, I get his rationale, but I think it goes back to LeBron. Why did LeBron never, ever, and he's the Mike Trout of his, especially when they're both around this age, both athletic and everyone wants to see them. Why did LeBron never join the dunk contest? Why did he never get a dunk contest? So I think it's a bad call, and it ends up being bad for the player as well as the league. This is Mike Trout's another small little chance to become more of a national figure, not just, you know, regional and super baseball fan. So I think it's a bad call. We would love to see him do it, but he won't.
Yeah, LeBron said he wasn't creative enough. We can't
believe
that.
That's a lie!
Yeah. And then he showed a video on Twitter of him dunking in the gym by himself. Fred, good call, bad call on Mike Trout here.
Bad call for baseball, but good call for Mike Trout. If Mike Trout doesn't want to be in the home run derby, he doesn't have to be in the home run derby. If he doesn't want to take 10 minutes of accelerated BP, he doesn't have to take 10 minutes of accelerated BP.
Just do it for the fans, Fred, one time.
Yeah, he'll be in the All-Star game. That'll be for the fans. I think they should do the home run derby differently. I think you should let pitchers hit. I think you should let anybody that wants to try that could knock the ball out of the park hit. I think it's I think it's much better. I'd love to see pitchers in the home run derby.
You would for the first 5 minutes, then you would say, why did I ever want to see that?
Hey, Madison Bumgarner can rake now.
That's what I'm saying.
he's Paul Bunyan, all right? He doesn't count.
Where's that blue axe? Vic, good call, bad call on Mike Trout here.
Good call by Trouty. He's a beast. We know he's a beast. We know he can launch 500-foot home runs. Like you said, it's a grind. He's been banged up all year anyway. He returns to center field tonight. Finally, he's had a bad finger. Remember last year he was out for a while. You know, he hurt his hand. You know, let Mike live. Let Trouty have a good time. He doesn't want to be in the home run derby. It's up to Trouty, man. I mean, it's all about J.D. Martinez. He's 25 home runs. Let J.D. Martinez hit the home runs.
I just snored. Give me something. Come on, Trout. Come on, LeBron. Get a dunk contest. Jordan did it. Kobe did it. Look at all the guys who've done a home run contest. I mean, derby? I'm sorry, I got a little...
It's a Quaalude Fest anyway right now.
That's how I feel about it. Do it, Mike Trout.
You know, we have seen what has happened to Bobby Abreu and Jock Peterson recently where it does mess up their swing.
So you're comparing Jock Peterson to Mike Trout, Adam. That's what you're doing on this
Friday?
I'm not. That's what you're doing on this Friday?
But he had 20 home runs before the break and I think one afterwards.
Jock Peterson is solid. He ain't Mike Trout.
No one is.
All right, then.
But even the best can have their swing messed with, I think, a little bit.
It can screw up your swing. There's no
doubt. I'm about to swing on y'all. That's what I'm about to do.
All right, back to the NBA. Good call, bad call by this NBA franchise, Standing Pat. You talked about it a little bit earlier. Danny Ainge calls a potential blockbuster deal involving the Celtics unlikely. They have the young talent and trade pieces to possibly make that big move for Kawhi, but seem hesitant to do so. Fred, good call, bad call on the Celtics sticking with the squad they have now.
Good call. I think it's a great call. I mean, if you look at what they have, they could easily win the East next year. They're young. They're talented. Gordon Hayward didn't even play. Kyrie Irving got hurt. I mean, they're jam-packed and loaded. Why would you mess with that? If the Lakers had that, there's no way they would consider Kawhi Leonard. So I think it's a good call for them if they do stand pat to do so.
Kelvin, good call, bad call with Danny Ainge here today.
Good call. Fred just hit all the key points, and it's just, let me see what I have. They haven't been able to see what they have as fully loaded, a full clip. So now they get a chance to see that, and they have all these assets. They have like 17 first-round picks, you know, over the next few years, and they have all these young, talented guys. So they can make a trade whenever they want at any given point. So I think them staying pat is fine. LeBron leaves the East. It's for theirs for the taking.
VTB, good call, bad call on the other hated ones on the East Coast, the Celtics standing pat.
No doubt. Danny Ainge is a brilliant, brilliant general manager. And don't discount the fact the hate still runs deep with Celtics and Lakers. And Ainge can screw the whole thing up for the Lakers by offering Kyrie Irving for Kawhi Leonard, which has been talked about and dallied about in pure speculation. But I think they've made that call. He would go Kyrie for Kawhi straight up. And then you get Pops getting, you know, Kawhi out of the West, out of the Lakers' hands. And the Celtics suddenly put a dagger into the Lakers' hearts. That would be horrific.
At worst,
look at them, a wreck already with that concept.
They're at least driving up the price for the Lakers. So it's working in that way for Boston. All right, gentlemen. That's good call, bad call.
Adam, nice job. As a matter of fact, why don't you do it on Monday again?
I'll be here.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Where is Kevin? What kind of vacation he got?
He'll have some stories.
7 weeks?
Let me put it like this. Where he went, he will have some stories when he gets back.
Yeah.
Bill Plaschke is in today for Matt, along with Petros, and theoretically, they will join us next. Fred Rogan and Kelvin Washington on AM 570 LA Sports. All right. Petros and Bill Plaschke are in. Hello, Bill.
What's going on, Fred?
Yeah, don't say hi to me.
Well, no, I wanted
he
to talk to Bill.
He mentioned your name?
No, he just said Petros.
What more do you want?
Bill is our
guest. He said hello, Bill. What but about Bill's hello,
P? Well, P, Bill is our guest today, so I
no,
least wanted
my
to acknowledge
guest.
Him.
He's my guest.
He's our guest. He's the radio station.
Yeah, he's your guest. He is my guest.
Well, wouldn't he be ours for like three minutes, then he's yours?
No.
That's how it goes, right?
I'm just thrilled. We're not talking about LeBron these first 2 seconds.
Well, hold on. Slow down, Bill. Hold on. Don't jump the gun.
Don't you want to do what you always do every single time? Sit here.
And make fun of you?
No. Well, that you always do. But start telling us stuff and then going, I'm not giving you my A material. But then you do it, and
no,
then you start yelling.
I'm not talking about LeBron. I'm not saying a word about LeBron or these guys.
You're not going to talk about him at all today?
No, not a word.
No,
we're going hardcore Walker Buehler.
Were you all critical of the Dodgers for the Walker Buehler incident?
We talked about that with Ned.
Ned Coletti. Yeah.
Kelvin's very
What
upset.
Did Ned say?
Yeah. He said it was an unfortunate situation.
Ah!
That's what he said.
Ned said.
Isolated, too, he said.
Yeah, isolated.
It's isolated. It was
this is
for the
isolated
first time
deal.
The Dodger front office kind of outsmarted themselves. That's all.
The first time?
Well, that was one of the few times that they've really, they handle their pitching well. They do well with guys they bring up, guys they bring down. It seems to work the way they do the 10-day DL, the way they work the angles, work the margins. But they kind of fooled themselves.
See, we are talking about Walker Buehler. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, it's okay.
That was about 30 seconds. You think they did it because they did it with Kershaw? What was that, 4 or 5 days before?
Yes,
days
I think
before.
They thought it worked for Kershaw. Why can't it work for them? But, you know, Walker Buehler is a whole different, you know, he's a rookie, and he's, you know, he's barely pitched, and he's hadn't pitched in a month. And I was out there yesterday, and it was a mess. I mean, he was never in the game.
Bill, you're a fixture out there. You're out there all the time.
There was a home run, second pitch.
Yeah.
Albert Amaro Jr. So, yeah, it didn't work, and it just shows the fallibility that, you know, that not all their moves that they do work. Although, again, it's hard in a game when Max Muncy goes deep again to say that they'd be even critical of the front office because of the way they've pulled through this. They've actually, you know, I thought they should make a lot of changes when they started out slow, but they didn't do anything, and it's worked.
So what do you think? Is LeBron coming?
Jesus, Fred!
No, Fred, I'm not telling you! I am not telling you!
Could you just be a little more discreet?
I'm just wondering. I mean, just give us an overview.
I'm saving my completely uninformed opinion for later on our
show. We have one of the top rumor people on in our final hour right before the Dodger pregame starts. So Amick is going to join us. So he'll have the latest. But, I mean, what's there left to say, guys? I mean, I'm tired. Aren't you cansado? Aren't you guys cansado of this?
Can I bang Vic's gong?
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Yeah, do it.
No, I mean,
ask Vic.
Yeah, you're right. I got to ask Vic.
Yeah, he'll be here in a second. Bill.
You can bang it. Go ahead.
No, it's not your gong to bang.
I'm just dying to bang it.
It's right in front of me.
Guys, I don't like the ownership you're taking.
No, I'm not.
Your guy's sense of entitlement
is through the roof. You're trying to egg me on to do it.
James Worthy banged that thing 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, well, okay.
He's a Hall of Famer. I'm not
going to say
there.
Anything to James.
He's a Hall of Famer.
You're in the Hall of Famer.
I'm just saying, no, let's I'm respect about, Vic.
Yeah. SIU Edwards is a Hall of Famer.
Can we have some respect for Vic? He's right in the other room.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? He's right in the other room. And respect Bill Plaschke while you're at it. He's the guy that got Magic Johnson all riled up this week. He created all of this. This man here with his anger. And Geeter McGee lied on TV.
What'd he say?
He said that it was Bill Orem that got Magic riled up.
Magic called me Bill during the thing.
Yeah. Hey, Geeter. Why don't you get the salt water out of your ears, Manhattan Beach? Okay? You're talking about Bill Plaschke. Bill Orem, come
he's
on.
Great. Bill Orem's
he's
great.
He's a wonderful
Bill Orem's
guy.
Bill great.
Yeah,
he's tremendous.
What a great reporter, but he couldn't make Magic mad. You could.
He's tremendous. That's just Magic and I go way back, that's all.
That's right. He couldn't make Magic a
was it your question where he said, I'm Magic Johnson?
Yes.
That was all me, yeah.
Of course, Fred. It wasn't Jim Hill.
He said,
and I know it wasn't you because you weren't there.
I was here.
No, of course, you're never there.
I'm here.
When was the last time you were at a Laker presser?
Fred was at, you were at.
2014?
When they drafted Kobe.
Oh, seriously, Bill?
I'm joking.
For like two seconds, I thought he was going to say
seriously, Bill. They traded for him.
That's right.
We have sound from that. They're going to miss Vlade. What a terrible day.
So I wasn't there either.
I played against Larry Bird, Fred. I exposed myself
as not being there either.
Oh, here he is. I've been in nine finals. He is getting magic all mad.
And been in college NCAA championship.
Yeah, I remember that against the Sycamores.
He ran off his full on LinkedIn page.
I'm Magic Johnson. I'm still the same.
Wait, go back to that. I say. I interrupt his question.
Yeah, don't you feel pressure? Don't you feel pressure?
You know, and then after that, I said, isn't this your job?
This is a different job.
I said, yeah, go back to that. See if you can play that again.
I played against Larry Bird in the finals. I mean, come on, man. I've been in 9 finals. You know, I've been in college NCAA championship. You know,
this is a different job.
Boom! Well, I didn't know what was his face like. What did he do, Bill? How did he look at you?
Smiling like he always does. He's the greatest guy ever. You know that.
You know what? It's so sad that you're like our number one columnist in the city, and you hear your own voice on the radio now. We're like, yeah!
I know.
Like you just won Papa Shot at the Chuck E. Cheese. My God.
Well, the guy thought it was Bill Orem. So I just want to make
sure. Yeah, that's BS, Geeter. You better answer for that, Geeter.
It's not.
Yeah, if you still rep the Valley, you wouldn't make mistakes like that, Geeter. But you're out there in Manhattan Beach with that starfish on your neck
playing volleyball. I am proud to be Bill Orem. I'd be proud to be. He's a great guy.
So is he coming? So is he coming, Bill?
I'm not saying anything else about LeBron James. Just talking about Walker Buehler.
Did Magic say that? Did he put himself on that timetable because he already knew he's got Magic? So it's easy to do.
Yeah, he's got a T-shirt in the T-shirt bazooka.
That's a question.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, P. How many T's do you need, P?
I am disappointed.
Trying to figure out.
You're trying to be cool. Because Kelvin's a cool kid. He's dressed cool. He sounds cool. He's younger than me. I don't like this.
Cut it.
You gonna replace him with me, Fred?
No,
Fred. See what happens, Fred. Don't make an enemy out of me. There's other kind of Godfather options.
Live and die in LA.